Prego.
Sanitize your phones off.
Turn them off. Good evening and welcome to the Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. Would you please join me and stand and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Looks like we got a pretty good house here tonight, so if you would please make sure your cell phones are not going to interrupt us and hold up our meeting. We would appreciate that immensely. Where'd you go? There it is. This meeting of the Josephine County Rural Planning Commission will be conducted according to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules, found in Chapter 19.31 of the Josephine County Code and Section 19.197.763 of the Oregon Revised Statutes, which govern the conduct of all public hearings. A summary of the rules follows. The planning staff will identify and explain the criteria and standards applicable to this request. Testimony and evidence is to be directed to the criteria and standards. If you feel other criteria or standards apply and are not identified, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. If the chair rules that additional standards apply, then testimony and evidence may be directed to them. Clearly raise and explain your issue in this hearing in order to be understood by the commission. Before conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request a continuance to submit new evidence or testimony. The commission must decide to either grant the continuance or keep the record open. In either case, the period of time must be at least 7 days. During the time of the open record, anyone may submit additional written testimony or evidence. All persons testifying are considered a witness unless the person asks to be recognized as a party, and the chair rules the person has party status. Party status is established in 3 ways. Anyone who receives official mailed notice and testifies orally or in writing in this hearing. Anyone who testifies orally or in writing in this hearing who did not receive official mailed notice but establishes the use or enjoyment of their property is adversely affected by impacts from the proposed use or development that is different from the public at large. And three, someone who is aggrieved by an adverse decision. The chair will wait until you finish testifying to make a rule on the party status. Participants are obliged to note and follow the rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. The first item on the agenda is going to be item 3.1. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the commission to hear this matter? There being none, any member of the commission wish to abstain from this matter? There being none, the Josephine County Rural Land Development Code sets time limits for testimony. At the close of the hearing, a decision shall be made in the form of findings with the presiding officer of the hearing body designating who shall prepare the findings. Finally, say the criteria for the decision of this hearing shall be presented by the planning staff, and we will do that after we get through item 3.1. So we have some housekeeping items that need to be done first, and then we'll move on to the application. 3.1, election. It's that time of year. I'll take any nominations for anyone who wishes to make a motion forward.
I'll make a motion to Ron Wright as chair.
I'll second that.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Any other motions? Call for a vote.
Commissioner Wright?
In favor.
Commissioner DeSimone?
In favor.
Commissioner Cunningham?
Yes.
Commissioner Octon?
Yes.
Motion passes. Vice chair. Again, I'll entertain a motion for a vice chair. Anyone? I'll make a motion for Mr. DeSimone.
I'll second that.
Any other motions? Roll, please.
Commissioner Wright?
In favor.
Commissioner DeSimone?
Aye.
Commissioner Cunningham?
Yes.
Commissioner Ockenden?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate both the vote of confidence for both of us. Item 4, public land use hearing 4.1. Request for approval of a 40-lot subdivision to be known as Russell Road Estates. This request will create 40-acre lots for residential development ranging in size from 2.12 to 5.19 acres. Includes a proposed new public road, Ellison Loop, along with a short public road off the loop named Kinney Way to serve as access for the subdivision. Ms. Kayla, please, would you give the staff report?
Good evening. My name is Kayla Wallace. I'm an associate planner with the Josephine County Planning Department. We are here tonight to discuss a proposed subdivision. The proposal was submitted as a joint application by property owners Clifford Phillips, John West, and Jennifer Parsons. The representative for the project is Grace Zilverberg of Z Land Use Consulting. The project engineer is Mel Galley of the Galley Group, and the surveyor is Gerald Nygren. The applicants are seeking tentative approval for their request to subdivide the property into 40 lots for residential development. Those lots will range in size from 2.12 acres to 5.19 acres. The subdivision will be accessed by a newly created public road, Ellison Loop, and a short public road off the loop named Kinney Way. Exhibit A in your staff report contains a copy of the tentative plan map. Some more general information on the project. The property is zoned rural residential with a 2.5 acre lot size minimum. Tax lot 700 is 11.43 acres. Tax lot 1400 is 7.84 acres. Tax lot 1401 is 0.3 acres. Tax lot 100 is 68.37 acres. And tax lot 200 is 29.21 acres. The total acreage per the assessor's map is 117.15 acres. Tax lots 700, 1401, 100, and 200 are vacant, and tax lot 1400 is developed with the residents. The statutory 150-day timeline expires on May 21st, 2020, which means that we have to have this decision and all appeals completed by that date. Background information on the application history for the project. A pre-application for a land division was completed on June 13, 2019. A full application for a 40-lot subdivision was received on November 25, 2019. The applicant submitted the required materials, and the application was deemed complete on December 23, 2019, which started that 150-day timeline. Here is a map of the property location, which is in the Merlin area with access off of Russell Road, a county-maintained road. Jump Off Joe Creek is along the southern border of Tax Lot 100, and both Tributary G and an ODOT railroad run along the western border of the tract of land. Here is a map of the zoning of surrounding areas. The properties abut private residential lands on all sides. Here is a 2018 aerial map of the properties and surrounding area. And here is the USGS map, which shows slopes of the properties. As you can see, the terrain is relatively flat with a small area totaling roughly 8.4% of steep slopes greater than 15%. The review procedure for tonight per Josephine County Code sections 19.51020A1 and 2, tentative plan review authority and procedures, states that the Planning Commission shall review and approve or deny tentative plans for subdivision using quasi-judicial review procedures as set forth in Chapter 19.22 and 19.24 JCC when the subdivision will create 10 or more lots. The applicable code section that is used to reach a decision on this application is 19.50050, Tentative Plan Review Standards and Criteria, which I will briefly elaborate on. Tentative Plan Standards. We look at whether the properties are legal, authorized lots, is the tract of land under one ownership or subject to a joint application by multiple owners, does the proposal present plans regarding flood, wildfire, and erosion hazards, and other development standards. Do the parcels meet the lot size requirements? The tentative plan criteria is in regard to infrastructure, utilities, and carrying capacity. Carrying capacity is the big one in this section in regards to access, water, septic. Can this land support the proposed development and fit cohesively into surrounding developments and environmental conditions? Section 19.71010 allows no more than 20% of lots up to a maximum of 5 lots that are below the lot size minimum, provided that the deficiency is contained within public road right-of-way and the applicant can provide information from DEQ that these smaller lots will not constitute a hazard to public health, safety, and welfare. Lots 16, 17, and 18 are subject to this section as they are less than 2.5 acres in size. The Planning Commission must consider these undersized lots and make a finding that the undersized lots meet this code section. Staff received no written comments from neighbors during the public comment period. Several agencies commented on the proposal to include Public Works, County Surveyor, Department of State Lands, and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. These comments are provided as Exhibits B through E of your staff report. At that, staff would like to recommend that the Russell Road Estates subdivision be approved with the proposed conditions listed in Exhibit F and the Public Works conditions in Exhibit B of your staff report. I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Any questions of staff? We're good, thank you.
Before I sit down, Neil Burgess from Public Works would like to speak.
Mr. Burgess.
Good evening, Neil Burgess, County Engineer, Josephine County Public Works. So I want to amend our exhibit. And normally I'd be up on my soapbox saying that Public Works is a different branch from Planning Commission and then you don't have authority over our road standards. So Planning Commission is more land use, we're more public right-of-way issues. But I think in this case, I think for the housekeeping, it's just easiest to I have two conditions I want to strike. Condition number, if I can direct you to where I'm going.
Just give us a page and which ones when you find them there.
I think we're Exhibit B. So I want to keep the numbering the same. I just want to take condition 5 out per my testimony at this meeting, and then condition 21 out. And this has to do with road approaches. So in the past, we required road approaches to be constructed at the time before final plat.
What page is that on now?
Exhibit B2 and B3.
Okay, so you want to take out 5?
Right, I kind of want to leave the numbering. We want to renumber them all. I don't know how the best way to.
No, you just want to strike the text.
Yeah.
Okay.
On number 5 and number 21. And it has to do with driveways, and we're going to defer the driveways till later.
I have a question are you done?
Yeah. I mean, are we doing this correctly?
No, just explain to me on 17 on B3. Kind of curious why you would make them remove any fence that was put up.
Right, so sometimes we have fences that are within the right-of-way and we want them back on the property line.
So you just want them removed from the right-of-way and back to the property line.
Right, that's what that means. So we have trouble with maintenance when we have to go through and we have fences that are too close.
Okay, I just want to clarify that so I make sure I understood it right. Any other questions for Public Works? Nope. Right. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Grace, would you please?
Okay. Grace Silverbrook, a land use planning representative. I live in Grants Pass. Anyway, I did have some. Yeah, I'll need some help here. The bigger one, more pages. Okay, it was there. Okay. All right.
You just scroll on the mouse.
Okay. Oh, went too far.
I know I saw him.
Okay, this is just a bigger overview of where the property is located there. And I apologize, but I copied your staff reports in black and white, so some of this didn't show up. So I'm showing this again. This is all in your staff report. And Kayla already showed you these, so a little bit of overlap there. Okay, they're all running together. But okay, so basically, essentially, what I'm going to do is go through the standards and criteria very quickly to just kind of bullet the things that are already in the staff report to show how this application complies with the requirements. So basically, under standards, under section 19.50.050, which is the tentative plan review standards and criteria, A, the standards is the parcels are legal, it has 3 owners, John West, Clifford Phillips, and Jennifer Parsons. There was some confusion in the staff report. I had put Helen Parsons, but it was the Helen Parsons Trust. So the assessor corrected me on that, said Jennifer Parsons is the actual owner. All of them will have access to public roads. There's no flood hazard or wetland areas that will be disturbed. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. That's number 3. It complies with all of the county standards and plans. It won't affect, according to Public Works, the official street map. Number 6, all but 3 meet the minimum size. Those 3, that are smaller than the minimum size are taken up by the road right-of-way. And there are no conflict with easements. And in the criteria, the infrastructure public facilities are adequate in that they're going to be two public roads developed, county roads maintained. The carrying capacity, which is the most important thing, and that is that new map there, and it was just to give you an idea, and it is in the staff report, that there is adequate access in the terms of the public roads. Water, there are four wells that have been tested for quantity and quality, and staff suggests testing some for chlorine or salt, which the owners are perfectly happy to do. There are 10 septic site evaluations. So basically that just kind of shows you, and it didn't come through very clearly, that pretty much to the north and the south, there's all standard septic systems, which is probably going to be what all of them are, because 90% of that and more are all the same soil type. Okay, so it is consistent with the surrounding properties in terms of size and zone. As we saw, two sites were zoned rural residential 2.5. One was zoned rural residential 1, which is no longer a valid zone. And then to the west on the other side of the railroad tracks, it's zoned rural residential 5. And there are no, number 4, there are no documented historic or archaeological sites on the property. Then if you go to section 19.50.060, it does meet all of the tentative plan requirements as far as the mapping goes, and our engineer Mel Gallia is here if you have any questions about correctness of the actual map. And also Mel has submitted an erosion and stormwater control plan, and again if you have any questions, talk to Mel about that. So other than that, back to, there's only one suggested condition that we object to, and that is that I would want the other one that I sent you just the other day. Now it comes up full page. Can we turn it? On mine, I couldn't turn it. Okay, this is the official wetlands map, and from the National Wetlands Inventory, and the property lines, I used a magic marker and marked the northern ones and the eastern side, and then the railroad bounds the western side, and then on the south, let's see if I can, it's here somewhere, there's a mile, oh there it is. It's not coming up on the, it comes up in the back. But anyway, as you can see, those green, those that are marked green, those are the wetlands on the south side of Jump Off Joe Creek. They aren't even mapped on the property itself. The creek along the west side, as it goes, it kind of weaves back and forth under the railroads, at the railroad right away, and it might infringe a wee bit into the property. So essentially, it's recommended that applicants do a wetland assessment, and that winds up costing $10,000 to $15,000, and there's really no justification to have to spend that much when there's very, probably no or just a minimum documented wetlands on the property itself. We'd be glad to put something into the CCNRs that says, no development whatsoever in any documented wetlands or floodplain. Same with the floodplain, it's basically all along Jump Off Joe Creek Road, and we would certainly hope no one would develop in the floodplain. So we would be happy to, put a CCNR if you wanted to just make sure of it, but we just really don't think that the minimum wetlands that may or may not be on the property justify spending that amount of money to have a wetland delineation by a professional. So, any questions?
Any questions? I have a couple, but we'll come back to them. Do you have anybody else to speak on your behalf?
I think it depends on your questions.
Well, do you want to have, does Mel want to address the wetlands under the railroad tracks at all?
I mean, we're not.
Mel Galley, a civil engineer for the Galley Group. As far as the wetlands go, we're going to try to maintain a 25-foot setback, maintain the riparian setback for the tributary G. And so the wetlands won't be impacted if there were any. I walked that wash, and there's really no vegetation in it. Now, not to say that a wetland specialist couldn't find anything, but it's hard for me to see that possibility happening. And so, given the vegetation and at least the areas of the wash, that's what I'm going to call it, along the railroad tracks, it's very unlikely that any be encountered. And if we can maintain the setback, I don't see there being a conflict.
Thank you.
Yep.
Short and sweet, I like it. Everything's in the application. We don't need to hash everything. That covers all the expert witnesses. Is there any opposition opponents? Not individuals, just an opposition group. So there being none, we will get to the cards for the people that turned in just a couple minutes. Anyone have any questions of either the staff or the applicant?
Yeah, what number was that condition that you're...
Page 13?
No, number 13, exhibit F, page
F3. F3, number 13. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll take that under advisement. We'll have a discussion in a little bit. Anyone else? Jim? Ward, any questions?
For Public Works, I finally found the documentation you were referring to. There are lots of papers here. So could you reiterate your changes on your the conditions from the Public Works?
Striking the text on number 5 and number 21.
Okay, number 5 and number 21. Okay.
We don't care if we strike the number or not, makes no difference. If you strike the text, it makes it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. I just wanted to catch up.
John Misterly, when you come up to the mic, I do need you to state your name and address and tell us what you're here for and hopefully against the criteria that we're looking for.
John Misterly is 121 Birdie Lane. We're the very first lot on the southwest corner where the access road comes out of Russell Road. Mm-hmm. We're just concerned about the water, of course, the water table, and also the traffic. And it's going to cut across the back of our property and expose our property to traffic. So we're concerned about the security and the privacy on that road.
Okay. Where'd I hide my page? Any questions for Mr. Misterly? Thank you, sir. Janet Lancaster?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Janet Lancaster. I live at 960 Wildflower Drive, and I'm here to object to some of the information in the report, specifically around well production on Wildflower Drive. And one of my neighbors, Josh Quick, is going to go into more detail on that. But I just learned about this, and I think many of my neighbors just learned about this yesterday, so I'm afraid I'm not as well prepared as I ordinarily would have been to understand your criteria. I want to say that I understand that economic development is really important for the area, and I support that. However, not at the expense of residents that are already living in terms of future property value or enjoyment of our property, of our wells and the water table. The other thing is I understand we have an affordable housing crisis in this area, and that too needs to be addressed, but I don't think that this is an affordable housing play. I don't think people are moving up to, you know, 2 to 5 acre lots in Merlin that need affordable housing. And so I would ask for a continuance of this matter for 30 days to give us time to, and perhaps somebody else will suggest something for the request of the developer to do some more adequate testing that might impact the homes on Wildflower Drive. Thank you.
Well, I will weigh that decision before we leave tonight. Josh Quick.
Gentlemen.
Name and address, please.
My name is Joshua Quick. I live at 887 Wildflower in the April Hills subdivision. My property does border the proposed subdivision. First thing first is Mr. I'm trying to think of his last name, the surveyor. Is he here tonight? Mr. Is he here?
No.
No, that's unfortunate. No, it's actually a direct question about his employee's ethics, so I'll talk to him about that later. So anyhow, sir, or gentlemen, thank you for allowing me the time to speak here. My name is Joshua Quick. I live in Merlin in the April Hills subdivision. I have since 2008 when I purchased 887 Wildflower. A couple of things that have struck me as far as looking over the paperwork provided for the subdivision. Now, I will say that I'm not going to speak for everyone here. I am neither opposed nor for the subdivision. I believe in capitalism. I believe if a gentleman's going to take a risk and he wants to do a subdivision, great. That's on him, not on me. It's his private dollars. I just don't want it to impact my residence and my current and future home value. One of the things, if you look, and if I can direct you to page 18 on your on the information that you all provided, that has that would be subsection B, table 2 with surrounding wells. If you look on there, there are 22 bordering residents or bordering lots. Not all have residents on them, but there are bordering lots that border this new subdivision. Of the 18, or excuse me, of the 22, 4 are listed with gallons per minute as far as well outflow. This would represent 18% just of the bordering lots to the subdivision. Of that, I can tell you factually, at least 2 of those are incorrect. 887 Wildflower, my residence, is listed at having 40 gallons per minute. When Mr. Ronald Oliver, the gentleman who built my house in 1980, put the well in, he had a 1 hour only test of 25 gallons per minute. Subsequently, when I bought my residence in 2008 as part of my mortgage review, I had to do a well flow test as well and received 25 gallons a minute on a 1 hour test. Generally, a 4 hour is a good rule of thumb as far as receiving an ultimate gallons per minute on the well. My neighbor, Mr. Larry Doe, who lives next door at 843, put in his well in 1990. If you look at table B, there are 3 readings of 30, 40, and 40. Mr. Doe is the only one that has ever checked his well. That was done 2 days after it was dug in 1990, and after a 4 hour flow, he received 14.4 gallons per minute. I do not know about the one on Verde, and I do not know specifically about my neighbor at 777, who is here in the audience tonight. He does not have his paperwork on him. However, a couple of things that strike me is if you look down at the bottom of that table, it does specifically state that those were the only four well logs that they could gain from the state. On top of that, when we're looking at a percentage as far as a good indicator of the aquifer itself, I don't think it would be reasonable or prudent to have three of your four test subjects to be side by side. That just doesn't seem to jive very well with me, at least. Now, consequently, if you look at the proposed subdivision, and I'm going to inject a little humor here. My wife and I are looking at this. This kind of looks like a chicken quarter. And I say that with utmost respect. I understand it's what the land that they have to deal with. So if you look up at the top in the northeast section, you know, of the chicken leg, as it comes down, there were four wells that were dug in the subdivision. I don't think those were reasonable and prudent either. You have lot number one, which is at the beginning off Russell Road. If you come up the line to the south, as soon as you turn the corner on lot number five, you have that well. And then down here in the bottom, you have lots 14 and 16 that were drilled. There's nothing in the middle. There's nothing in the northwest corner at all. Again, I don't believe that is a fair and accurate representation of the water available in that subdivision either.
Okay. Your time is running long. We didn't set the timer on you, so if you would just wrap it up, please.
If I could just wrap it up. My remedy proposed would be that, as a show of good faith for the developer, come up, have you gentlemen identify some lots on Wildflower Verde and Combs that you would like them to do a well flow check on. Well flow test doesn't cost that much, and when we're talking about millions of dollars that are going to be bought and sold in this subdivision, I don't think a couple $175 well flow test, accurate 4-hour well flow test, would be out of order to have the developer perform. Again, I think if the board was satisfied after that happened and it was a true representation, I don't think I personally would have a problem, but I cannot speak for my neighbors on that. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, sir. Laura Mashor, if I said that right.
Yes, close.
Hi, I'm Laura Mashor. I live at 1675 Russell Road. Most people know it as the Red Barn. The traffic is my biggest concern here. I'm all for development and, you know, everything. My concern is a lot of traffic, 40 houses, possibly two cars a house. That's 80 cars more a day going down Pleasant Valley Road, which is already a racetrack. There's no slowing devices there, any way to stop the traffic or slow the traffic, because there's a lot of speeding. I know people come up behind me several times, and I was having deer crossing the road, several in front of me, and I slowed for it, but the car behind me went right around me in a pickup truck and hit a couple of them because they don't slow down. It happens often. There's deer signs right just before our street. There's the mile marker, and then there's a deer sign just past that, turning left to go onto Russell Road. And like I said, my property borders the creek, actually backs up to Jump Off Joe Court, Creek Court, across the creek from us. And the bridge is already sinking right now. They just put a new sign up yesterday. There's a dip in the my side of the bridge. And not due to me, but it is sinking. So there's some road condition things maybe happening right in our area. There's slowing and double lines until almost in front of my house, halfway across my property, and then it breaks into a broken line and a solid line on the opposite side, the Combs Drive side. And people start passing, even we signal to go on our driveway. People are on the opposite side of the road, on the head-on side, passing, and it's a raceway all the way to the top of that hill past Verde. And that's where the bus comes this way, and several children have almost been hit in the morning because we have a pickup at our house. So okay. I'm concerned about the traffic. That's my biggest concern in our neighborhood right now.
Thank you. Any questions? And I would ask you before you leave to have a discussion with the gentleman here at the end on the front row. And
a traffic feasibility study, maybe?
Well, not necessarily, but you can talk to him about the road because that's what he does.
Okay.
If you have a road issue, that's the man you want to talk to, and he's here, so... Larry Kroll? Crowell?
Larry Crowell, 178 Combs Drive. I just kind of want to piggyback on one of the conversations that was made about water. I live at where the red roof is there, and just as you look at the top, big red roof. Our well was done in 99 at 18. I have one neighbor right behind me that's at 5. I'm concerned about the topographic of the property. As the topography comes down, that's above our property, so I'm concerned about the water level and what that would mean to our wells. We're downhill, in other words, so that's kind of a concern. I'm not in favor nor against the development. I'm looking forward actually to see the development go in that sense, but as a property owner, I certainly feel that there's a limited water supply that should be looked at. And my suggestion would be, or maybe a thought to throw out, is there any process or thoughts on if people a year from now, all of a sudden, after the developments come in and your water is depleting, is there anything that can be done to say, well, the developer or those people responsible for the development would be able to address that to help those property owners?
There is. The question is whether you have it, which would be a water right.
Correct.
And I cannot tell you whether you have one or not. You would have to know that.
And how would we obtain that?
Typically from the title company would know that. So.
But that's on the property owners, the current property owners' onus?
It goes with the property typically. Not necessarily all the time, but generically it will follow the property whether you sell or somebody else moves in. There is instances that does not happen, but that is way beyond us. That's up at the state level, not has nothing to do with us here. So we have no control over any of that. We just know it exists. So if you have a water right, just an example, my water right is 1924. Mm-hmm. So I have a really old one. So okay. If the guy next to me builds and now my well goes dry, then I have a recourse that I can follow up, go to the sheriff, I can submit. But it's whether you have a water right, and none of those rights are set in this commission. This all comes from the state. So we just have to go with what the state law says.
Okay. Thank you.
We will steer you in whatever direction is appropriate, but that's all we can do.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Beth Samaga?
Betty Sumega. Good evening. My name is Betty Sumega, and I live at 880 Wildflower. And so I am across the way, actually, from Josh Quick. And I have a concern about this in terms of the water and the aquifer, and could the existing aquifers and water supply support this kind of a development and what that would do to my property. I have 2.5 acres in that. I had a well test done when I bought the property. It was done in December of 2010, and minus 20 gallons per, what is that, minute? And so that's good then. I don't know what it is now currently, but I can't imagine that it's not going to impact when you have 40 additional development sites and the people's moving in there and that. I'm not opposed to development, but I am very concerned about existing property owners' water rights. And I would think that the commission, or I'm not sure what the exact title is, you all have a fiduciary responsibility to the existing landowners and homeowners before you consider additional peoples and property development.
Thank you. Chris Anderton. He's the last card I have. He didn't tell me if he was favor, opposed, or neutral, so I don't know.
It's
neutral.
I'm Chris Anderton. I live at 154 Combs. And just like everybody else in the building tonight, our only concern is the water and the impact that all these homes are going to have on that. Also, too, I had a question from the map earlier, and it looked like a row of houses were going to back up to the easement, to the driveway behind us. Is that true? Because I was told it would not.
They have a setback. It has to be so far off the property.
Yeah. How far?
We'll let Grace answer that.
I'm sorry, where exactly?
We live on Combs Drive, 154.
Okay, yeah.
And we were told there was going to be no houses, basically, when we look out our living room window, right there. They were all going to be tucked off in the back. And from one of the maps I seen on there, that was not true. So that's a question I have.
To the west, if you're looking off homes to the west or to the north?
If the houses would be on the east of Combs, because I live on the west.
East of Combs?
Yes, that's not right there.
We'll give him a minute to, or if you can go over and show him on the map where you're referencing, that would be easier. Let's avoid some miscommunication. Did he answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishes to speak before we...
May I ask one other question?
Yeah, I'll allow it. Come on up to the podium. Restate your name so we know who you are.
It's Betty Sumega, and I just had a thought. This obviously has been in the works for some time. Why, when something like this is taking place, why aren't the surrounding landowners notified of this possibility before it gets to this stage? I'm just curious in terms of water usage, because that's a huge issue for landowners to have enough water. And so I don't understand why something like this isn't brought up for the surrounding landowners prior to all this development consideration taking place.
Well, everybody should have been, and I'll let staff answer this.
Kayla Wallace, Associate Planner, Justin County Planning. So we are required to follow the quasi-judicial procedures as outlined in our development code, which is put down from state law. State law gives our mandatory minimums on what we have to do, and we adopt them and codify them into our development code. In our development code regarding public hearings, it requires that we notice property owners 21 days prior to the hearing, and we have to notice property owners within 250 feet of residentially zoned properties. There's different notice areas when the zoning of the property changes. For an example, a resource zone property like farm or forest is a 750-foot buffer, but just residential lands is a 250-foot buffer. So that's what we did as planning, is identified the 250-foot buffer area and mailed notice to those property owners.
Thank you. Appreciate the clarification.
Is the sound of a tree being felled, is that considered a notification?
Yeah. I will have a question for you, James. I'm going to have you look something up, so I want it read so we can, per state law on the water, the requirements that the applicant has to meet, the test wells and how many. There's nothing in the state law that says they have to do every one or where they put them or anything. It just says you must do, and I'd like you to read that requirement.
I'll go get that. So the water requirement?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to read it into the record to try and appease.
In our code, we have water standards, and there's two tests. Actually, there's three. The first test is for if you're going to use a shared well, you need to prove that you have at least 5 gallons per minute per dwelling. So that's the first test. The second test is if you're using individual wells, you'd have to have at least 3 gallons per minute per dwelling per 4-hour period. So those are the two tests.
There is a major comprehensive test for measuring water, and that is a major pump test. That's a bit complex. It's you test wells on site, and then you put measuring devices on wells surrounding the property, and they check the connectivity. If there's a drawdown on the well being tested and they find something elsewhere, now you have a better idea of what that well system is doing on the property. So there's a few tools that we have out there for well testing.
And what percentage of the proposed 40 lots has to be, how many wells are we required to have tested?
So the amount of wells is, I think, Kayla, do you have that?
The on-site wells?
Yes.
There were four on-site wells that produced a total of 83 gallons per minute.
So okay. Four on-site at 83 on-site. Gallons per minute. Yeah. I'm repeating it because I have the microphone so they can hear.
Yeah.
Which meets the requirements set by the state.
That those requirements meet our code. So as far as the test goes.
Thank you. I wanted that on the record.
Sure. Sure.
So I know in my years of being here, there hasn't been a subdivision yet that somebody hasn't complained about water. And again, it goes back to the water rights. If you can prove that a subdivision or somebody has drained your water and caused you a water problem, you have a recourse. Certainly, if you have a water right, you're much more powerful about that recourse. But without any factual data that say, if you let them build, I'm going to lose my water, that is not something as a planning commission that we can address because it's not factual. It's hope.
Sure, and but in good faith.
You will not talk from the, if you, well, there's another gentleman that's going to come up first, but we'll get, I'll let you come back up and.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
There was one other gentleman that had a question that wanted to come up, so I'm going to let him come up first and give a statement or what he has.
My name's Larry Dole.
Do it at the mic. I can't hear you walking up.
My name is Larry Dole.
Address?
I had a car.
Address?
Pardon?
Your address, sir?
843 Wildflower Drive.
Thank you.
And I live right next to Josh Quick. And my question is, it's a little bit of reiteration, I understand, but when these proposals and applicants apply for a, like what we have here, a subdivision, we have to read these, whatever's given to us to the public. This is all we get. And if I'm looking at my own house and it's saying, Larry, you got 30 gallons, 40 gallons, and 40 gallons, three different readings, and I'm the one that put the pump in, the water master has a deal down that anybody can look at for 8 gallons a minute. That's what I get. Now, I actually had a well flow test done 2 days later, and this was 30 years ago. I have 14.4 gallons a minute. I don't have 30, I don't have 40, and I don't have 40. So when I heard this, I went down to the water master and I checked on my neighbors, which are both listed here. Well, they doubled, tripled it on mine. On Josh Quick, they doubled it. And they went over on Bachman, which is he'd be number 14, 15, and 16. That's 3 out of 4. If you're going to base your information on this kind of information, I don't understand why we shouldn't be worried about our wells, because there are a lot of people up in our area. This is such a good water area, everybody's saying, that are down to 4 gallons a minute, and I've got the paperwork on most of them, and there's some people that are worried with 8 to 12 at this point in time. So, you know, if I'm going to read something like this, I would at least like to say, you know what, they got my well right. So, I mean, even though they only did 4 out of 22, they got mine right, they got his right, but they doubled, and in my case, almost tripled what I really have. And that's, you guys have to listen to. And my question is, why doesn't somebody do the background on this and at least have some truth when we send this stuff out? Because I can't base what you're telling me on the information that you've given me. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Quick, I'll give you another minute at the microphone.
sir. I sure do appreciate it. So in what was read into the minutes, was that a state or a county? Was that an OAR or was that a county ordinance? As a county ordinance, okay. So what we have at the proposed subdivision is approximately 120 acres. And then we have the April Hill subdivision, which I don't know, it was plat a couple of years after I was born, so 40 years ago. And you've got, if you look on the map, you can see about right in the middle of it where all the trees are. My lot's right below the trees, and then Mr. Doe's lot's below that, and the other one's below there. There are 10 lots on Wildflower that are bordered and possibly affected. Why is there not, in a county ordinance, at least a good faith for an overview of these wells? This is not in good faith whatsoever. This is a pick and choose and a hen peck is what it is. This is not even remotely transparent or fair, if we want to use these buzzwords from the last couple months. It's not even remotely transparent or fair in trying to judge the aquifer in that area, either for the proposed subdivision and the people that are going to buy lots there and spend probably $500,000 to $600,000 plus, nor is it for the established families and community that's already there, worried about their home values, because we have a lot of retirees in April Hills. They're probably going to have to move out because it's going to be too much house and too much land. They're going to be worried about that because that is their nest egg for their legacy, for their inheritance. So again, I would request that there at least be an addendum to the ordinance to make this fair. It's anything but. And if you look at page 49 through 55, through some of the April Hills well flow tests, they're 20 years old. How accurate are those? How accurate and how much faith can we put in a 20-year-old well flow test? This just is not right. It needs to be fixed. Again, I'm not for or against, but I want it right. That's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
You absolutely have some valid points, and that's something that the Board of County Commissioners should make that change on for the county code.
Okay, what about you gentlemen as far as, again, if you look at the notes, folks, this thing's already basically done. The staff has approved it, and you know what? That's great. I missed my opportunity as far as a public comment before because I had no idea. It's my ignorance, and you know what? It's on me. However, you gentlemen have the ability, because you have until May or June of this year to do a final say, to go back and have the developer actually do a proper well check. I will stand right up here. He can come right on my property. I'll put my dog in the kennel. Hell, I'll give him a soda. He can come up and he can check my well. I bet you he could probably check several of them on Wildflower. You know what? And all he's going to be out is $175 plus or minus. Go to Quinn's, go to Green Valley, go to whomever. Come up and do a 4-hour. You know what? I'll make him a sandwich. All I'm asking for is some fair and transparency. If at the end of the day, you gentlemen say, guys, there's more than enough water, this is going to be fine, you know what? I'm fine with it. I'm absolutely fine with it. But on face value, this is not right. It's not even close. Thank you.
Thank you. There being no other cards and nobody else, I am closing it to the public testimony, and I'm going to bring it back to the Planning Commission for discussion. Oh, sorry, Grace, you can have your rebuttal.
Thank you.
Grace Silverberg, Land Use Consultant, Grants Pass. Okay, there's a couple of issues that are really important. The traffic came up. I honestly cannot answer that question. That's a Public Works call on whether or not there's going to be too much traffic or the safety of the roads and so forth. One person discussed worried about security and privacy. The code does not address that, but the developer tells me that this is going to be a high end. It is unfortunately not a low income housing development. It is designed for an upper level housing thing. So, you know, I know we need lower income housing, but this one is not it. Let me make sure. Okay, so the surrounding wells, I did that. I take the blame. The idea, it's a general idea just to show that there are existing functioning wells in the area. I get my information off the state website. It can be confusing. I apologize if it's not accurate. But basically what the code says, this was the result of a LUBA decision, is that you have to prove on-site well water availability, and that's all it says. So technically, the developer would only have to dig one well and say, look, there's water on the property. But the developer dug, what, three wells plus?
Four wells.
Okay, it's four wells and had them tested. Now, as to this affecting other people's wells, one thing that people obviously don't understand, and understandably, is that the aquifer, there is no single aquifer in Josephine County. Josephine County is characterized by what they call fractured aquifers. In other words, you can dig a well and get nothing, or maybe 2 or 3 gallons a minute, and then you can dig 50 feet away and get 50 gallons a minute. It can be a gusher. And Quinn Wells years ago told me that even to do a major well test, if you go beyond 500 feet from the well that's being tested, it's useless information because the aquifers are not connected. It has to do with the faults, and so many faults, geological faults in it. So this is what I've learned over the years, and which is why you really wouldn't serve any purpose to go around and test everyone's well and verify that they actually have water. The developer has met the criterion for proving on-site water. If any of those other lots cannot produce water, that is the developer's risk that he has to take. And I truly sympathize with people worried about their wells. It's a major concern. On occasion, certain uses will affect other people's wells. We've had quite a few drought years. I've heard stories about wells going drier, getting lower than ever, and having to dig deeper. So I don't really know what's going on. But basically, because of the fractured aquifer system in this county, there's no single easy solution to it. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else here. Okay. One person mentioned water drainage. Again, worried about the effect on the well. And again, Mel Galley has done a stormwater drainage study on that, so that affects part of it. Most of it is has to do with the road building, to make sure it doesn't create drainage that drains onto other people's property and cause a problem. As far as affecting another person's well, I haven't heard of that being that type of scenario being a problem. But basically, I think the main worry that people have is the impact of this development on their wells. The only answer I can give is that there's no way to establish this. And it's probably not because of multiple wells, because of the fractured aquifer system in this county. Any questions?
Yeah, I've got a couple questions. But there was one in the staff report that said there was a bad water area somewhere around this property. Do you know where that
was? Yes, apparently term is chloride. Now it's basically salt. And there are documented water areas in this county. They're usually salt or iron.
Merlin's got a lot of them.
And just because you're in a documented water quality problem area doesn't mean you can actually have a good well within that. So it's just kind of, again, probably due to this fractured aquifer. One lot will have good water, another lot will have salty water.
But as far as you know, all the wells that were in the proposed development, the water quality is good, is what it's saying,
The correct? Water quality is good, but we didn't test because it's sort of not typical. Mm-hmm. And I don't have access to the water quality problem areas. I don't have that on the public website. So that's not listed. It was not tested for that. It was tested for arsenic and, what was the other, bacteria?
Chloroform.
Chloroform, yeah.
Yeah, equally. Right.
Any other questions? I have one more I want to throw at you. I know it's off topic of this, but I'm going to throw it since you're at the podium. CCNR say no metal roofs. In this fire safety issue, why are we not allowing metal roofs?
I don't have an answer to that. You'll have to talk to, do you know why?
That's just a rough draft.
Those are, right, rough draft. The lawyer is doing a lot of putting it together. Are we talking, what we're talking about probably lean-to, or not lean-to, but garages? Yeah, it's not, it doesn't apply to housing, the house itself.
Okay, oh. Well, you would agree to strike that?
Yes.
Good.
Then that's on the record. I don't have to make a big deal out of it. Any other questions? Thank you, Grace. Okay, now we will bring it back to the Planning Commission. Mr. Ockenden, I would like to start with you tonight since you're on the end.
Really? Okay, great.
Excuse me, sir, was there a rebuttal for that? I remember reading that.
Sir, rebuttal for, what's the term?
Only if there's new evidence.
Yeah, there's no new evidence and there's no
new argument.
Sir, if I may, though, I know you're getting tired of me, but if I may,
no.
One more.
No.
I will allow it, Mr. Quick.
I appreciate it.
Not that I'm getting tired of you, but we have rules that we have to follow, so.
I understand, but ma'am, with all due respect, something was brought up as far as Quinn's. Now, I can give you two examples here. Number one, ma'am, you're not a hydrologist or a geologist, and I would say that the people in this room, if you were to talk to a state geologist and the hydrologist and have them fill out a report, that would go ahead and agree with what she said that Mr. Quinn told her whenever. I deal with facts. She is not a scientist, so right now I can't go along with that. And also, just food for thought, we live in Josephine County. How many horror stories have you heard of people that have had wells go dry next to hemp fields and marijuana grows? You're not going to satisfy the people in this room without at least some kind of scientist stating that the frack wells are not attached to each other and water is what water is per your well.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, Mr. Ockenden, okay. If you would continue.
As I feel for your concerns about the wells, I do. But I believe that the applicant has drilled four wells and proven beyond a doubt to me that there's plenty of water there for that subdivision. So I don't see any concern about the water for that subdivision. I think this subdivision is laid out very, very well. I think they've done a very, very good job on the layout of it. It's probably one of the nicest subdivisions I have seen in a long time. And we do need more lots for sale in Josephine County, and we do need this. So I'm 100% for this project at this point. So, and that's pretty much it. So,
Jim?
I agree. I think it's well done. From all the reports, and met the criteria of development according to the law. The issue of water is always going to be an issue, and it's a difficult one, but I don't see how things could be changed significantly. I think we've got enough wells here indicating there's pretty good draw for the proposed development, so I'm in favor of it.
DeSimone?
Yeah, just to reiterate again, we're have to be guided by the statutes and the facts presented to us. Just as you said, Ms. Silverberg isn't an expert, but neither are you.
So I'm just asking.
That's right. Yeah, understood. My understanding is, though, I guess as opponents, that you do have the right if you were notified 21 days.
When was that?
We were not notified.
Nobody.
Again, I can only go by the information that staff gave us. So
it said there were no objections posted,
Okay, we can't have people talking from the seats, or we will shut it down. Thank you, Mr. DeSimone. Continue.
Yeah, so again, we're limited to the information given us, and they've laid out that it meets the criteria. Again, so that's what we have to make our decision on. And again, every time we have one of these, it is traffic and water. So understand your concerns, but we also have to follow the code as far as our decisions.
Thank you, and I'm spending the last couple minutes trying to look for anything on the well standards so I could read it to the audience so they understand a little better that we have requirements that we must follow. The requirements are, if the applicant meets the criteria, it must be approved. Now we look for those, and if there's any factual evidence that somebody's presenting something that we don't see, we understand the well logs, and I would like to follow up with that, and I shall, but it doesn't help you with this application because the application is here and now, and we have to decide on what is presented to us tonight in a factual data.
You can't just wait a little bit and actually...
I cannot force them to do more than what is required in the code.
Even though you have time.
It doesn't matter. I can't. The code says if they have this and they've met the requirements, they've drilled the minimum, they've shown that the water capacity by law, the term is we must approve.
Could you pull back and
no. Pull on the other hand? No, we're done. So there again, as I stated before, there has not been a subdivision that has not had an issue with water and wells every time it pulls up, and it still goes back to the rules that if they meet the requirements, then we must approve. So I believe the application has been submitted and followed and meets all the requirements put forth, and I'm in favor of the application. I'm also in favor of following up with the BCC on the well and water logs, and I think we can generate something on our end to at least have them address that and look at it.
Yeah. So.
Then I will entertain a motion from anyone on the commission. Anyone?
Yeah, I make a motion to approve the development as proposed of the 40-lot subdivision known as Russell Road Estates.
Also included in your motion, the request from Public Works to strike number 5 and number 21.
Correct.
From the Public Works. We have a motion on the table.
I'll second that motion.
Motion seconded.
Do your due diligence.
Vote, please.
Hide behind me.
Commissioner Wright.
In favor.
In favor.
Yes.
Yes.
Motion passes with the strikes that we've made. Yes. We had a request to delineate the wetlands. Would you add that to your motion, please?
Yes, yes.
The 25-foot setbacks.
Yes, we'd be happy to add to the CCRs. Is that what the restricted use of wetlands or development in the floodplains? Is that what we're referring to?
Strike the requirement for wetland delineation.
Oh.
Put it in the
CCNR.
Yeah.
Correct. So put the wetlands and delineation setback in the CCNRs also.
Okay.
And staff has a thing for us real quick.
Oh, I'm just bringing you to the conditions of approval. I think it was condition number 13. Is that the condition that we're striking for the DSL requirement?
What page is that on?
No, we were striking Exhibit B2, Item 5, and Item 21.
No, it's in the conditions. Exhibit F3 says, prior to development, the applicant shall submit a copy of DSL stamped and approved wetland determination or delineation.
I got it here. That's the one. Your opinion? Staff opinion. I should rephrase that.
Well, I have no opinion. I was just directing you to the right spot in the document where you can find that. You know, when it comes to wetlands, we're not the experts. We rely on DSL to provide us comments and their expertise in requiring these things. I do understand the applicant gave you some good evidence in contrary to the wetlands report that you got, meaning they're building away from there. They're not going to be in those wetland areas. So with that, staff would support you in striking that condition number 13 at this point.
Would you amend and add that to your motion, Jim?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Amend the number 13 as requested. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And I'll second that.
Motion seconded. So amended. We've already had a roll call on it. Would you just do it one more time just to avoid any hassle?
Commissioner Wright.
In favor?
Commissioner Eastbaum.
In favor.
Commissioner Cunningham.
Yes.
Commissioner Ockenden.
Yes.
Motion passes. Applicant to do the findings and submit them within 7 days? 10 days?
Can I do it? I'm going to Idaho tomorrow.
What time frame?
I'll be going Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be back Friday.
10 days?
Don't I have to wait for the minutes?
Should get them to you.
We are asking 7 days for the findings due to the time limits we're dealing with on this one.
You have it by following.
That's past the 75-day.
Yeah. Where is that?
That's okay.
75 days is March 7th.
March 7th? Okay.
How many 75 days is March 7th? I can't remember March 7th.
Okay. So findings to be done by the applicant due by March 7th.
Findings to be done by the applicant March 7th. No later than.
Sounds good.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Is there any comments or statements from the public? Any updates or anything from the planning director? Anything from the board? Meeting is adjourned.
Now this goes.